The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers. Activist Radio is on the air. You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal. Mark is training a new generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win. All
right! If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
All right, Scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. You're listening to the Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist here on WRFD. Did you know that God is pro-choice? According to that verse, he's pro-choice. He says, I put before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life. He's pro-choice, but he says what? Choose life. Choose life. We're going to be talking about that today on the Mark Harrington Show. To find archives on our program, go to createdequal.net. And we're going to continue in this conversation with Seth Dreher, the Created Equal's training director. For the next several weeks, we're going to be covering the topic of apologetics as it relates to the pro-life issue. And that does not mean apologizing. It means making a defense for the faith that we have. And we believe it's an important aspect of our faith to be able to defend life, because God is the author of life, and he said he wanted us to live it abundantly. So in order to do that, I'm going to turn things over to my good friend and fellow debater, that is, on the other side of this debate, and that is Dr. Cornelius Choice, who is a professor at Abortion University down the road. Very smart guy. He teaches this to his students. Dr. Choice, thanks for being on the Mark Harrington Show. Thank you very much, Mark. And Seth Dreher is with us today. Seth, good to see you again, by the way.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
My name is Dr. Choice.
Dr. Choice, yes.
Professor Cornelius Choice. And,
Professor.
You know, I've done a lot of studying on this
I'm
subject.
Impressed, yeah.
You know, I'm not one of those kind of guys who just walks around and just takes what the media says or whatever the common culture, the status quo or whatever. I've actually looked into this, and there are a lot of smart people that also believe what I believe, and I won't go through the list of those folks, but you know, the folks on your side of this, the anti-choice advocates like yourself, want to force women to be pregnant. That's basically it to me. You are forced pregnancy advocates, in my view. You don't care about the baby once it's born. All you want them to do is get born, and then you're out of here. Let me just ask you this. Don't you believe that a woman has a right to her own body?
Yes.
Bodily autonomy is the argument that is made from our side, and it's been made by many people. Women should have the right to do what they want with their own body. And when this, whatever you want to call it, entity, unborn, preborn entity, threatens that person, life or health or whatever, they can decide for themselves what they should do. I trust women more than I trust you people on the right, you Christian fascists, or the government to make that decision. What do you think about that?
I could say on the surface, I agree with a lot of what you've said. I mean, I trust women to decide what to do with their bodies. I mean, how long they want to have their hair, when they want to clip their fingernails or toenails. I'm cool with them making those decisions. But see, we're going back to the same thing that you and I talked about last week or whenever we've talked about in previous discussions between you and me, which is this something, this fetus, really part of her body? I mean, in this room where we're sitting, I have bodily autonomy on some level. I mean, I have rights to my body, I should say. I can swing my arm, but my right to swing my arm stops when I smack you in the face. It's not okay for me to use my body to harm you. So if there is someone else's body inside of her, the fetus, then it's not okay for her to hire someone to kill that something inside of her. That would be wrong. So we have to ask again, is this really part of her body? And I would argue it's not. I could illustrate that further, but maybe you have a counter question.
Go ahead. I mean, because doesn't it really come down to that? I mean, we've been arguing about this for 41 years. Nobody's going to come to any kind of final conclusion of whether the preborn entity, whatever you want to call it, is human divide. You know, we're just going to be divided about it. So give me your best shot on why you believe that preborn deserve rights.
Sure. Well, I think that you and I have talked many times before. Leading Embryology Today to review says that we know for fact that all fetuses, or I should say zygotes, embryos conceived by human mothers and fathers are human beings. We know that.
I'll grant you that. Okay. Because I'm not stupid.
And there are only four differences between every born and preborn human: size, level, development, environment, dependency. But those are irrelevant to human value.
It's a cute acronym.
Okay,
SLED, I like
by
it.
By Stephen Schwartz. Right. So now we have to ask then, what about this idea? We know we have a separate entity, a human being inside the mother. Bodily autonomy. You're saying that she ought to have the right, that no one can use her body without her consent. And therefore, she
right.
Can
this is
kill
America. We are about freedom. Yes.
Let me offer a counter thought experiment. Imagine there was last century, in the mid century, there was a drug often taken by women called thalidomide. Thalidomide. You can look that up.
I don't need to. I'm a smart person.
Okay.
I remember
right. Women took it. For...
And I am old. Okay. Older.
So you've been there, right?
Right.
Women took this drug for nausea. And it worked well for nausea for women who are pregnant. But the problem was we found it caused grave birth defects. Children were born with, you know, missing limbs or extra limbs. And so doctors stopped prescribing it. Now imagine today a mother is pregnant. She has nausea. She goes to her doctor and says, I want thalidomide. And he says, no, because it will cause defects in your baby. She says, I have bodily autonomy. I can do what I want with my body. She goes to the black market, acquires thalidomide, knowing what will happen to her baby, takes the drug, and months later her baby is born with only one arm. In your opinion, did she do anything wrong?
Yes.
But see, if it's wrong for her to harm the baby by taking thalidomide, how can it be okay for her to kill that baby by having her decapitated, dismembered, and disemboweled?
Okay, good point. Let's move on to an argument that our listeners may have actually heard about, which I ascribe to, and that is this great thinker, Judith Jarvis Thompson, talked about the violinist who was attached to an individual without their knowledge as they were asleep. He woke up and he survived, basically. He was going to have to be his survival was required by being attached to this individual. Does that individual have the right to terminate that connection and therefore kill the violinist?
Well, Thompson,
I mean, you could expound on that example if you like, but my view is yes.
Well, see, Thompson, which she wrote this in 1971, so we're harkening back to maybe when you were in school.
Oh, well, that's a slam there. Go ahead.
So when Thompson was writing this,
you're ageist.
I am sometimes. No. Okay, anyhow, let's move beyond. So when Thompson wrote this, she assumes that, yes, you may unplug yourself from that sick man in bed and walk away. So not everyone agrees to that, but I'll grant her case. Let's say you are justified unplugging from that sick man in bed and walking away knowing it will kill him. Even if you're justified in doing that, that does not mean abortion is okay. Because abortion is not the same thing.
All right.
I mean, me unplugging myself from someone is not the same as me taking an axe to him. But abortion is not merely unplugging from the mother. You are decapitating, dismembering that human being. There's a clear difference. Also, you and some stranger next to you in the hospital bed, you may have not much responsibility to him, but mothers and fathers have responsibility to their children. Even the state recognizes that. Dr. Choice, if you have neighbors living in your neighborhood and they starve, the state does not hold you responsible. But if you have children and they starve, you are held responsible because parents have legal and moral responsibilities to their children. So I think Thompson fails in her analogy because it's not a fair comparison.
All right. I get you that a little bit. So let's move on to the question of birth control. And I know that you anti-choice. By the way, you're listening to the Mark Harrington Show. Dr. Cornelius Choice sitting in for Mark. By the way, I thank Mark very much for letting me sit in and talk with the other side of this debate, the anti-choice advocate, Seth Dreher from Created Equal. So thanks for having me here. But let's just talk about this question, really hot in the political realm, and that is this: what I believe is a war on women, and that is that folks like yourself want to force women not to have birth control. You want to get rid of that one. You don't want them to have abortions. So you're curtailing their freedom, reproductive freedom, in two ways. Are you guys, because there's some confusion here, are pro-life advocates against birth control?
Please define birth control. Birth control could be many things.
The common birth control pill, for an example, okay, which millions of Americans have relied on for decades.
See, here's the problem when we start using that word birth control.
Okay, well, you define it then, okay, the way that you would
sure
like.
Well, I would say, because a lot of people call abortion birth control, so I'm just asking for clarity.
Well, you
here
guys would. I wouldn't.
Right.
But go ahead.
So I would say generally there are two methods of birth control. You have contraceptives that really are against conception. So they try to prevent the sperm and egg from meeting. Then you have other birth control methods that are abortifacients or abortion itself, by which you actually terminate or kill that being that's already been made by conception. So you have barrier methods like a condom, for example, that as far as an organization, Create Equal is not taking a position on, because our mandate is opposed to killing innocent humans. And so those methods that really are by nature merely contraceptive, preventing sperm and egg from uniting, we're not taking a legal position on those. When it comes to any method, though, that is going to kill a being once she's made, we oppose that. So you have like
– well, be specific on the types and methods, the chemicals and types.
Well, you have Plan B, for example, a pill that can be taken after sexual intercourse. And that pill, it's possible, because intercourse can take up to several hours, 24 to 36 hours after intercourse. It's possible that pill could prevent sperm and egg from meeting. That is one way the Plan B can work. However, it is also very possible that if that fails, the Plan B pill can actually prevent the newly created baby from implanting in her mother's uterus. Because every month the mother's uterus gets ready for a baby, but when she takes the Plan B pill, it shoots her, it bases a high dosage of birth control, the birth control pill, standard pill, changes the lining of her uterus and can make it more difficult for that newly created baby to implant in her mother's uterus. Therefore, she starves, basically, and it passes out of the mother. That kills her. So whether you're killed...
But what about the regular... I understand Plan B, which is considered the morning after pill.
It is.
What about just the common birth control pill? And you got about a minute.
Okay, the common birth control pill would have the same thing. From this, the evidence may not be quite as clear as it hopefully will be soon, but it appears to be from the people who create the birth control pill. They say there are three mechanisms to that pill. That it can have a spermicidal effect of preventing sperm from getting to the ovum. It also could prevent ovulation, so the mother doesn't release an ovum. But if those mechanisms fail, it said, according to the packaging, what we've read, that pill can also, it does change the lining of the mother's uterus or endometrium, and again can make it more difficult for that baby to implant, and thereby you're killing her.
So, okay, question. Are you for or against it? I
oppose the birth control pill, yes.
Okay, but you're not opposed to barrier-type methods, which are truly contraceptive.
Exactly.
And, of course, I know from your point of view, being a religious guy, you might be against that, but for policy reasons. Am I clarifying correctly?
That is correct. That would have reasons for
that. Created Equal is not against it. All right. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show. Dr. Cornelius Choice sitting in. Thanks, Mark, for having me. We'll be right back. If you want to find out more about Created Equal, go to createdequal.net. We've got all these programs of Mark's show archived on the website. We'll be right back.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
Just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
Activist Radio is back on the air here. Mark Harrington with you on WRFD. If you want to find out more about Created Equal, go to createdequal.net. Check us out, folks. We are doing things in this community and across Ohio and America, going to college campuses, going out in the public square, and we can use your help. So you can go to createdequal.net, let us know. James 1:27 says this. This is pure and undefiled religion. In the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress. And he doesn't stop there. And to keep oneself unstained by the world. Often people look at that first part, that first stanza of that verse there, and end it at the point where we are to defend orphans and widows in their distress. But we don't go on to talk about being unstained by the world. That is equally as important. If we're going to defend, if we're going to visit orphans and widows, we need to remain unstained. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show. My guest today is continuing on with Dr. Cornelius Choice. He's a professor at Abortion University down the road here. Dr. Choice, thanks for being on The Mark Harrington Show. Hey, thank you, Mark. It's very, very good to be here. And we're also in, Seth is with us here. Mark, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Seth, let's continue in this conversation.
Would love to, Dr. Choice.
Obviously, I am for abortion. I'm unapologetic. These people will say, you know, I'm pro-choice and that's different than pro-abortion. No, I'm for it. It's okay. It's good, in my opinion. In fact, if we don't have abortion like it was before 1973, where women had to go into the back alleys, that's where they'll go again. With coat hangers, we all know that what happened before, 5,000 to 10,000 women died prior to Roe versus Wade being handed down. And I just think it's absolutely ridiculous to think that we're going to go back 40 years if we make abortion illegal. And I know that's what you guys want to do, isn't it? So let me ask this question. If you get your way and you make abortion illegal, which is increasingly more likely as we look at the legislation that's been passed around the country in these state houses by these intolerant white men generally, if you get your way and abortion is made illegal, you will just send women back into back alleys having unsafe abortions, and then they will end up dying or having all kinds of problems. Isn't it better just to leave it up to the woman to decide?
Well, see, Dr. Choice, you've given me some statistics that just really aren't true. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who was an abortionist, he also actually was a co-founder of NARAL Pro-Choice America. He said later on that he, in his book, Aborting America, he writes this. It was always 5,000 to 10,000 deaths a year. I confess that I knew the figures were totally false.
Okay, so let's say the number's wrong. But you cannot deny that women will die. If you make abortion illegal, which is what you want, women will die trying to get illegal abortions, right or wrong?
Well, I think that women die today getting abortions,
all right,
legal or illegal.
But there'll be more because they're going to be doing it unsafe. Don't you want to keep it, like Bill Clinton said, safe, legal, and rare?
So here's the problem with that safe, legal, and rare. First of all, you're admitting something's wrong by saying it's rare. So I would ask, why rare? Otherwise, it should be safe, legal, and popular. But when you say safe and legal, for who? It's never safe for the child who is, again, decapitated and dismembered by the abortion. So abortion's not safe no matter what you do. Now, I oppose women dying wherever they die, whether it's in a hospital or in a back alley. I am opposed to that. I just think that you're using a kind of a rhetorical device to make reality look worse than it is. I mean, in 1972, 39 women died by illegal abortions, according to the U.S. Bureau of Vital Statistics.
That's too many.
39 is too many. But then what we have to ask is, whenever women are dying or anyone's dying by doing something illegal, should we make that something legal to keep it safe? And the question we have to answer that by asking, is it a good or a bad thing they're doing, morally speaking? A bank robbery is dangerous. If you want to rob a bank, you could get harmed or killed in it by someone who has a gun in there, a security officer. Raping women is dangerous for men. The women can attack them back or kill them back by self-defense. Should we make things like rape and bank robbery legal to keep them safe?
So I guess it gets back to whether the preborn are human.
Undoubtedly, yes.
Or persons.
Yes, that's right.
So when it comes to back alley abortions, what do you let's say you get your way, it's made illegal. What are you going to do with these women? You're going to throw them in jail? Are you going to ask for the death penalty? What?
Well, see here. Okay, a couple of things here. Let's say abortion, it's not going to happen, but let's say we get our way tomorrow. Abortion is illegal in America. Women who've had abortions before then, they would not be held responsible legally because they did not break a state-respected law. Now, I would say they broke a moral law, God's law, but they did not break a law respected by the state, so there's no...
You're not going to go retroactively
right.
and throw these people in prison.
No, there'd be no punishment for them whatsoever. But I'm willing to be consistent. I mean, let's say we have a law tomorrow saying it is illegal to kill preborn human beings. I'll be consistent and say those who break that law should have to face some kind of penalty. But think about it, with the same case for women and men who kill their born children today. You kill a born child, you may not face the same penalty as someone else who killed a born child. In America, not so many years ago, there was a young woman who killed her newborn for crying while she was playing Farmville on Facebook. Now, that woman faced different punishment than another woman who, remember Andrea Yates, who drowned mm-hmm. her children in the bathtub.
Yes.
Initially, she was found guilty. Then later, by reason of insanity, she was found not guilty. So the punishment depends upon your level of awareness of what you're doing, if you were under the influence of drugs, your level of culpability, really, how guilty you are. I would argue that the mothers and fathers who have abortions, if we have a law tomorrow, it would not be up to me, but to a court of law to determine how culpable are they, what should the punishment be, like we have first, second, and third degree murder today.
Okay, so, all right, that's pretty good there, by the way. I don't obviously agree with you entirely, but for the sake of time, we'll move on. Again, you're listening to The Mark Harrington Show. You can go to createdequal.net to find out more about Mark's ministry. My name is Dr. Cornelius Choice, and I'm a professor at Abortion University down the road here. And I have been spending the majority of my life educating and bringing this issue to students at the university that I teach. Okay, Seth, you're a man.
How do you know?
Well, I guess in today's world, that's a good question. But let's just, for the sake of argument, it appears anyway, that you're a man. How can you, as a man, take a position against a woman's right to choose when you will never become pregnant?
Let me just say, we were in Florida last year with my team, my boss Mark and my colleague Jamie, and we were at a campus, and someone said that to me. They said, I had a microphone taking questions. They said, "You're a man, sit down." So I gave the microphone to my colleague Jamie, and they said, "You're a Christian, sit down." There's always a reason for saying that we have no place in the public square. So what really matters in the end of the day is not what type of a person you are, male, female, or whatever your philosophy may be, but your arguments. Are they good or bad? Arguments don't have genders. As Francis Beckwith has said, humans have genders. Mm-hmm. So I am a man, but if you had
But gender is a continuum.
Okay, and I've heard that before too. So
that's my position.
If that's the case, then how can you call me a man? I may be anywhere on the continuum, and so you have no reason based upon my gender for disregarding
but
my
But for the
views.
Sake of argument, again, you do appear to be a male.
Okay, I'm glad for that.
And like you say, women are going to bear the burden of childbirth for the most part.
Sure.
Not entirely. The man, obviously, if he sticks with the woman, will be the father of that child. But she's really the one that's going to make the decision here. How is it that men can even have a say in this? And we'll finish with that for this segment in the show.
Well, see, that's, I think, what's so sad about this. I mean, men help create that child, too. I believe men should be responsible and help the mothers. And also, it's unfair that a woman can decide to kill some man's child without his opinion. I think both men and women should be held responsible and should have a role in raising their children.
Dr. Cornelius Choice sitting in for Mark Harrington. Hey, by the way, Mark, thanks for letting me sit in here today. I appreciate it. All right. We'll be back next week, 2:30, Saturday. Listen to us. Dr. Cornelius Choice will continue his conversation with Seth Dreher, Training Director of Created Equal. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America. To bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.